Each and every one of us, ordinarily in the normal course of events, feels, we have a feeling, we have a mood, we act within that mood. For example, when somebody's even being detached, it's a mood, it's their feeling. It's born of the desire to not want to be involved. Or sometimes we become angry, or we feel love, or hatred, or upset, or whatever. These different moods, these emotions that create within us this energetic feeling, these are momentary. That means they come and they go. They are an expression of our response to some kind of stimulus. Now, sometimes the feeling we have can be chronic. It can be long-term. Some people have long-term depression. That means that they feel depressed over long periods of time. Their life is characterized by a kind of depression. This is because their life is not in a structure or a pattern which they feel good about or they feel comfortable in. In each and every one of these situations, be they short-term, medium-term, long-term, all of these feelings, these moods, these states are very much in reference to our present situation, our situation as it relates to our living situation, to our interactions, relates to the way in which we are accepting our environment. Naturally, they can change. We would think that they change at the time of death, but in most cases, this feeling we have of the mood we're in can carry over lifetime after lifetime because of it being a product of our personality, our characteristics, and our level of evolution, which dictates how we relate to the external world. So when we speak about feelings, being aware even, or the way in which we perceive with our consciousness, we are talking about a level which is already quite near to the surface, if we were to consider the spiritual energy as the core, the essence of our being, that is the being, that is our consciousness, and that consciousness is aware. So that's that ultimate spiritual essence of that spiritual entity who is essence, doesn't possess it, doesn't have it, who is essence. So that essence assumes these characteristics, accepts these characteristics, places the energy, that spiritual energy within all of these aspects of our existence. Now, you would imagine there's an expectation there. You've got this spiritual energy, spiritual essence, which is by its nature timeless, which is by its nature absorbed in the moment, the ever-existing moment, which is by its nature aware of reality on so many levels. And you have that spiritual energy entering into this external realm, which we have assumed. Doesn't matter why. And naturally, the expectation that is natural in all of us, that is inherent within spirit, is going to be frustrated. The essence comes out in this form of perception, awareness, with an expectation of connecting to similar spiritual energy, spiritual experiences. Whether we are aware of it or not, we have this expectation. We have this expectation that we are going to enter into a similar environment to the one that is our nature. Yet we do not. Sometimes we do, for some short period of time. An example that we all are familiar with, I hope, is falling in love. You suddenly are in this environment of love where you feel intense connection to someone, where your energy flows out to them, their energy flows to you, you accept it, they accept it, there's a union. And it is very similar to that which we expect. That's why people reach out for love. They reach out for relationships. They try to find it because it creates an environment, an atmosphere within which their nature is nurtured. It's blooming. It's blossoming within this environment. That's very nice. You also see this, for example, in the honeymoon period when you enter into a religious experience or a spiritual experience that comes to you or you go to, where you embrace a connection with the divine, with God, and you feel that love and you have that same feeling that your expectation, which you weren't even perhaps aware was there, is nurtured and nourished. We all have this like feeling, this idea, this desire that we want something like that. We want from birth, we're looking for it. This nurturing, this nourishing of that environment of spirituality that we feel is our nature. And we look here, we look there, we don't find it. And then we start to look in a more specific way. Some people try to find it in drugs. Certain kinds of drugs give an euphoria, which for some time reproduce that expectation or seem to. All of this is seem to. That's okay. It's apparent. That's all right. How long it lasts doesn't matter. We're talking about now a situation which is generic, a situation which is applicable to all of us. Now, I'd like to boil this down into that spirituality which I'm familiar with, and I'd like to share it with you because I think you're familiar with it too, so that we can understand better what actually the theme of our lives is. If you were to, for example, say that the theme of your life is to find love. Okay, a lot of people found love. They found a relationship where they loved the other person. Now, the initial stages of that, as we said, are very rewarding. The initial stages of this are very rewarding. And we find that after some time, that changes. Now, I am not trying to reduce the wonder of loving relationships because they go on, they evolve, they modify to deep friendship, deep respect, deep appreciation, deep support, deep sharing and nurturing. That's wonderful. But that doesn't address that expectation of the soul, the expectation of the spirit, which wishes to find those personalities who will express the spirit and receive the spirit as we expect. And I want to use that as the basis of awareness of what's actually happening in our lives. And before I do, the reason this is so important is because we usually are searching for something we're not clear about, we're not aware of. Oh, sure, if you accept some philosophical ideal or a religious philosophy, you will be told that this is what you're looking for. You're looking for truth, you're looking for beauty, you're looking for connection to God, you're looking to be of service or whatever. You're told what it is you're looking for, and you accept that. But it's something that you think you're going to attain. If you do things right, if you do things properly, at one point, you're going to attain. You're going to attain something, and it's going to come to you, and then you're going to feel that which you expect, which is the inherent nature of the soul. Okay, we all know the problem with that. It's something that's going to happen later on. If it happens or doesn't happen, remains to be seen. Now, I feel that the essence of spirituality and spiritual practice is very much based in this feeling the feeling, not necessarily the feeling of my momentary emotions, my momentary moods, not even necessarily my awareness of the process of perception, deeply understanding what it is that I'm perceiving and who is the perceiver, all of which bring me down deeply into the consciousness, all of which is good. But I'm speaking about using that expectation, reaching within and in the meditative state, feeling without reference to the external world, without reference to this world of things, this world of words, this world of concepts and interactions, even this world of my body or my home or my family, simply meditation on the energy that is me, feeling it, letting go of all other parts of life, just feeling that which is me. And when I do that, I'm aware of the unique position in time and space, because no one else occupies this but me, my unique position. No one else feels what I feel. No one else is me but me. Okay, these are all obvious points, but when you're in the meditative state, you often forget that. We often forget the uniqueness of this feeling. And we feel that essence we are, we feel that spirit we are. We forget about it being a unique thing. Only I feel like this in this time and space. I'm the only being here. Now, the reason why that's very important is because I feel that the essence of spiritual life is found in expression. In fact, I think you can boil it all down to expression. If you read that little book, which is published in Russian, it's a very dense description of essence. And in there is this description of the point of doing, the purpose of doing, which is to maintain the integrity of that essence. Now, let's go even deeper. Here we are. The quality of our feeling in this meditative state, deeply, where we are deeply understanding that unique energy we are by just feeling it, is qualitatively a very pure state. It's qualitatively a very deep state, a very dense state. It's dense with energy. Essence is dense. It's not just some floating wisp. It's dense. It's more real than this reality we call that's in front of us, that can be broken, can be dissolved, can be changed. For that essence is dense in its ever-existing nature, cannot be influenced, cannot be changed by the external, in the state of being, that essence we are, without reference to that which is around us, simply when we are absorbed in that meditation of the quality that we are. Yet we don't do that all the time. We have an inclination to share, to love, and interact. We are, as essence, not a closed field of energy. Whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not, and these are meaningless statements when we understand what we're talking about, but just for description, whether we like it or not, or whether we want to do it or not, we are not a closed field of energy. We are an open field. Our essence, even when we're simply in the center of it, we must be feeling it, totally absorbed in the denseness of our spirit. That energy flows outwards. It is not an energy that is static. It's not like a ball that has a limit and it cannot go beyond that limit. A sphere around us or whatever extra dimensional form we require to limit spirit. It doesn't exist. That energy just flows because we, that essence, express. Now, I have called that transmission. In reality, it is expression. Transmission, it's a very technical term. It's what radio stations, what television stations. I mean, after all, the way you're receiving this lecture right now is a transmission, a video data transmission. It's something machines do. I don't transmit. I express. I'm expressing what I am. I express. My energy expresses all the time. It's just an expression of what I am. Now, when we get into all of the physicality of life, we can modify the expression. Okay, we all know that. But I'm talking here about that spirit, that spiritual being that expresses. I express. When I'm just absorbed in the meditation of my being, my energy is flowing. So it is an expression. What happens to the expression? Well, in a world where I was the only being, everything would be filled with my expression. Now, that's not so. Everybody else exists too. And they're doing the same thing. So they express. Now, what is it about what we call the spiritual world that makes it so attractive? I would say it is the way in which our expression is received or accepted. We express when that expression enters into the consciousness of another entity. That entity has the choice of how our expression is accepted. Well, let's take ourselves because we're the best examples. Let's change the meditation from one where our focus of awareness is on our expression, because we're just this dense energy of essence. Let's change that to the focus of awareness on the acceptance we do. The acceptance, the way in which these energies come to us from other expressive beings. And just sit in the same meditation and feel the flow of expression into our consciousness and be aware of it. It's not homogeneous. The more you practice this deep meditative awareness, you will understand it's not a homogeneous mass of expression that we just feel as this body of energy. It's not so. Our having mixed feelings when we're around others is the proof that different energies can be perceived at the same time and affect us in their own way. But because of the nature of waves, they mix. They mix, these waves. And when they mix, they create a new overall wave, which is a summation of the two waves, or a summation of unlimited waves. That creates a homogeneous energy. So we can sit back and perceive the energy of existence right now, the homogeneous energy of existence. I know that it seems that I just contradicted myself, but I'll get into the detail of that homogeneity in a second. You can sit back and perceive the homogeneous vibration of existence. But if you can do that, you might feel, especially depending on your sensitivity, your evolved sensitivity, that it feels very different than you might have felt it in the past. You will feel each of your cells vibrating very rapidly, faster than they have in the past. It's almost as if they're vibrating faster than they are capable or they are comfortable with. It's more than they can handle sometimes, because you'll feel the energy shaking you. This is because there is more energy being added into our atmosphere right now. Sun, photons, environmental, and I'm talking about universally environmental emanations are impacting us in a stronger way, speeding up the natural frequency of the earth. Speeding up, because the earth, by the way, does not reject the frequency like we do. The earth just accepts this increase of energy and responds accordingly by vibrating differently. But we have a choice. We can accept or reject, just like all the other feelings that we have, or the other ways in which we can perceive people. We can accept it or reject it. We are not the only ones who are experiencing this increase of energy, because nature does it. The entities that exist on this planet feel it. Animals feel it. Plants and fish and the weather patterns. Everything is reacting to the way in which the sun is increasing its vibrational capacity to us. The way in which the vibration is very much stronger. And this vibrational change is something that is very much affecting us. And again, whether we accept it or we don't accept it is up to us. It's our choice. It's our choice to accept it or not, just as we can accept or not accept the energies coming from other living entities. So when we reject that frequency and we just sit back to hear, to feel it, to perceive it, we feel it like a vibration which is shaking us, because we're not just embracing it. We haven't allowed ourselves to just grow with it, to allow our consciousness to accommodate it, to allow our evolution to flow with it. And until we do, we're always going to feel it like some kind of shaking business. And when we do, we're going to grow, we're going to expand, we're going to find that our lives are going to change very radically. Our lives are going to change in a very significant way. When you don't accept this transformation, or let's say you don't accept this frequency, which is higher, it's faster, then your body starts to distort, because you've got this vibration, this energy, which is impacting you, but you're not in tune with it. You're not in harmony with it. So it's like going like this, but you're going like this, you know? It's going faster, zip, 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 and you're going zip, zip, zip. So what you're having is a distortion where you're having, because it's not working together. It's not like a nice sinusoidal wave, a sine wave, which is working very nicely together, summing in a very harmonious way. So you have a choice right now. You can either keep up with this distortion and get sick, get disturbed, see that your relationships with others are all screwed up, or you can flow with it. You can accept it. You can grow with it and adapt to that energy by raising your frequency accordingly, feeling that raise of frequency and harmonizing with it. Because as much as expression is the basis of what we are as individuals, reception, acceptance is equally important. Acceptance of that increased energy of the sun. Acceptance of this increased energy of the universe. It's a similar thing when you have others enter into your environment, other people, and they are expressing. Now you can filter that expression. You can say, no, I don't want that. Let's say there's somebody in back of you on a line, when they want you to move over and they're just pushing you, pushing you, pushing you. And you keep saying, no, 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 you don't exist. No, 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 don't want. At one point, it's going to be a riot. You have to deal with it. You have to say, what is going on here? How can we harmonize? How can we harmonize so this expression you're making stops being a distortion in my life? Now, when we go back down to the very basis of our essence, and there is this homogeneous expression. But what is very interesting about that energy on that very essential level is that it has the capacity to be sent to the object of the expression, or the subject, let's say, of the expression. For example, I am expressing to you. So my energy of expression will include within it the energy of the personality we desire to receive the energy. It will be included. And because that expression and that the address of that personality, their energy, is included in the expression, the address of the desired destination, is included in the expression. When that energy comes through this homogeneous expression that we feel, it has a very specific relevance to me, and so I focus on it, if I wish, and I examine it. Do I wish to accept this or not? We talked about this last week, the rationality that is there. The rationality which gives us a choice to accept the expression or not, maybe even partially accept. So this interaction that now takes place is very important. It may not be as important to the receiver of the expression, but it is very important to the expressor. Very important. Why would I bother to express? In other words, why would I bother to make an energetic expression which includes the energetic address or calling card of the subject of the expression or the personality to whom it is addressed if I did not have some reason, some desire to do it? And if I have a reason and desire to do it, I expect that it will be accepted. I expect it will be received. It will be accepted and incorporated into the personality of that personality who I have addressed myself to. So just consider that when you're on that deep level of essence where the expression is taking place. If your expression is accepted in the mood through which you have expressed it, this is optimal. Now just consider that. That one simple fact that my expression is accepted for what it is the optimal situation. So back to what is the spiritual world? It is that place, this is my definition, where expression is accepted for what it is. You actually don't need more than that. How you express, what you do once the expression is made, is all consequential. That means it takes place in sequence afterwards. It's the ongoing status of existence. But the energetic interaction boils down to the natural expression and the acceptance of it as it is. Now, Radha and Krishna, for instance, are expressing. They just express, and their expression is a lot more powerful than ours, but that's okay. It's still the same expression. And if you receive that expression as it is, well, then you've got... Oh, he's gone again. Then you've got basically everything under control as far as the spiritual interaction takes place. You've got everything very perfectly in sync because you're just accepting the expression of Radha and Krishna, for example. And your expression, they always accept. At least they're always aware of it. They're always... But if we're talking about the spiritual realm, your expression is an appreciation of their energy, isn't it? Appreciation is the love you send to them, and they accept that. So the entire spiritual world is characterized by this, and the same goes for other living entities there in that spiritual realm, where their expression, born of their essence, is accepted by you. And you have this continuous exchange going on, where everyone accepts the expression of the other. So if you really want to practice for an entrance into the spiritual realm. You just practice accepting expressions as they are. You just accept that. For example, you might say, okay, well, should I accept the expression of anger of another person? No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking now on the platform of essence. I'm talking on the platform of spirit, where you express that natural essence of spirit that always expresses, even though it may always be covered by various things. You accept that essence. You accept that expression of the essence of person. Well, you don't want to see other things. You just feel that essence. But then we're starting to talk about tools which are required to do that in this world. You have to be very detached. You have to be very self-controlled. You have to be very compassionate, kind, merciful, to not react negatively to the way in which other persons relate to you, to not think badly about others, to not feel with revenge or the desire to hurt or harm. You require a whole package of tools to regulate your responses. But in the spiritual world that we're talking about, there's no need for those packages of responses because you're dealing with others who are as evolved as you, who have honed their skills and focused their skills to simply accept the expressions of others as they are, without trying to distort that expression or change it or deflect it or reflect it. Just accept it as it is. And in that atmosphere of expression and acceptance of expression, all of those tensions, all of those obstacles which are there in our realm no longer block the pure exchange of spiritual energy. And when you have numerous people doing that, it is the spiritual world, especially when you do that together with the divine. Now, one may say, well, this is just a part of some greater philosophy, and after all, it's, you know, not that essentially different or important, but I disagree. I say that it is of the utmost importance to be aware, to be very, very aware of what it really is that is taking place in these spiritual acceptance of expressions, because there is the key to the entire connection to the spiritual world. It's not a visualization. It's not just acting that way and getting that way. It's not a pile of austerities and disciplines which are somehow unrelated to this one specific task of learning how to accept expressions as they are given. This is a discipline in and of itself. One that has to be accomplished before one can live within that expression acceptance realm of spirit. Yes, there are tools. Yes, there are mantras. Yes, there are austerities. Or yes, there are meditations. And above all, it all boils down to desire. But when one is aware of the nature of that unending expression that is going on all the time, and the whole point being the way of acceptance of that expression, one starts to see other people very differently. And that perception of other people, I mean, let's face it, all our problems in this life come from other people. So our perception of that other person, when it is evolved in this way, and our responsibility focuses on accepting their energy as it is, without all that other stuff, but just focusing on accepting their energy by tuning to what we are, essence, and just accepting the same kind of tuning with another person, and accepting that person in that way, accepting their expression, we will have enormous power to create the spiritual realm right now. But if you cannot do that, it does not matter how much philosophy you've got or how many things you do or what you wear or what you say, what you eat, what you think, who you follow or don't follow. All that really counts is to tune to the self. I'm going to summarize the whole thing because I'm sorry this broadcast has become very disturbing for those of you who are listening to the Russian. But to summarize, I am that essence, that spiritual energy. I feel me, that unique me, that essence I am, that is expressing out of its own nature. It cannot be contained. So I accept that. And I accept that others are just like me in that way. They are that being, essence. And they are expressing. How I accept that expression defines my level of spirit. And so my responsibility in my discipline is to accept the expressions as they are. What I do next is my choice. I may accept, but I may not express in a similar focused reply to an expression. Or I may reply differently. I find that very interesting. How I reply, how I act at that point is very, very important. It defines who I am. The choice I make after I enter into this expression, acceptance, attitude defines reality. My reality defines who I am. And I am free to respond or not. That is how existence continues, where everyone has the freedom to respond in the way they want. But it only makes sense. He's gone again. It only makes sense when you are in this deep level of awareness of expression and acceptance of the expression of others. It only makes sense at that time. It does not make sense otherwise, because we're talking about something that only functions on the deep levels. You can try to do it when you're having a conversation with others, you know, like a psychologist would do. But that would, of course, be very much more on the surface of things. I mean, you would be dealing more on the surface, or even deep, but not at the core. Never at the core. It's not possible. To deal at the core, you need to be in that meditative connected state. Not, you don't even have to be in a meditative state, but you have to have that connected state, which is in itself so deep. It is meditative because it is the purely spiritual state of consciousness. Anyway, I've tried very hard in this discussion to express this extremely important point. And I know there's two ways you can listen to this. In one way is according to the way I'm expressing it, which is that it's done when the experience you're having is on the core essence of what you are, where you understand it the way I explained it. And the other is when you are not at that core consciousness. When you're not at the core consciousness, you listen to this and you say, yeah, so what? I mean, honestly, you would say like that. You would say, this is not very important to me. I mean, okay, it's all right. It may have some validity somewhere. It's mental, it's psychological, it's intellectual or whatever. And okay, it's a good theory, it's a good philosophy. But it gets tested when somebody's angry or some very intense situation takes place and it falls apart, or maybe I have to study more and I have to just really be strong. And it's the same thing. So I should just chant Hare Krishna and, you know, follow some principles and I'll get it. That's not going to work. Because that's not what I'm talking about. That's totally not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking about the discipline in the yogic state of connection, which is, after all, what's the whole point of yoga? The yogic state of connection within the core and the reception of the core expressions of others. And then life is a process of replying appropriately with Radha and Krishna, with the people around me, with nature, and so on. Then the idea of being of service becomes more of being there for someone or being connected and feeling it and acting as a spiritual being will act, where there's need to be there, where there is desire to consider it, where there is desire to play. I suppose you get what I mean. I hope that I have fulfilled my wish to express that.